When most people think of the work of George Thorogood, it's normally with his band The Destroyers. Rocked up versions of One Bourbon, One Scotch, and One Beer, Move It On Over, and of course his staple, Bad to the Bone, immediately come to mind. What doesn't usually come to mind is this.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
This is from the album called Party of One. It's a solo acoustic album.
Bring another scotch and a bourbon and beer.
Thorogood said Party of One is something that's been on his mind for a long time.
How all week I've had a
Well, there's a demand for it from over the years to the people that have been following this act, and that's how I started. And I had planned to do that to begin with and then move on later to form a rock and roll band, but it didn't really happen that way. I won't say I was struggling as a solo artist, but I was doing it, but it was difficult. And I knew I couldn't move any farther until I got a record out. Then I had people around me, people such as Sonny Terry, Brian McGee, Robert Lockwood, and people who came to see me play as a soloist who were very, very upfront and encouraging about, why don't you get an electric guitar? Especially Robert Lockwood. So, well, that's where it's at. And you know, I had a lot of rock energy in me. I was always breaking strings on the acoustic guitar. And, you know, I could handle a couple of songs, but my hands would get tired after a while. And so I got to move on to electric guitar. So I put the acoustic solo thing on hold for a while. And during my years at Rounder, that came up often. That subject came up often for that project. And I moved on to other record labels. And those labels were more interested in heavy rock than they were an acoustic statement. So once that ran its course, I bumped into some of the Rounder people. We stayed in touch over the years, and the president, Scott, said, you haven't forgotten about us, about doing a solo record someday, acoustic. I said, no, actually, I haven't. Kept that in mind all along. He said, well, let's give it a shot. And it was a lot harder to do than I anticipated. So, if someone comes up with an idea to do a solo acoustic record, I'm telling them to call Taj Mahal.
The sky is crying. Look at the tears roll down the street. The sky is crying. Look at the tears roll down the street.
I want to go back to Robert Jr. Lockwood. You brought his name up as someone who was very encouraging early on, and you say he encouraged you to plug in as opposed to be acoustic. What did he hear in you that he encouraged you to do that?
Because he said that's where it's at. That's where he actually told me some stories. It was strange that towards the end of his life, supposedly, I don't know if he saw it directly, but he said Robert Johnson was fooling around with an electric guitar. And some people said they'd seen him standing and looking in store windows at electric guitars, which were just starting to come out, supposedly, in the 30s. And I heard that he actually played with a trio briefly before he passed on. Robert Johnson, I mean, he was doing like kind of jazz kind of things. And I thought, well, that makes sense, because after those first two Robert Johnson records, there's nowhere left to take acoustic blues other than those two records. There's nowhere to go. And Lockwood was saying that's a natural progression. Everybody did that. John Lee Hooker did it first, then later Elmore James, then later Muddy Waters. And I saw Hound Dog Taylor, and I said, hey, man, that's it. That's, you know, forget it. That acoustic guitar started gathering dust after that.
Okay,
so,
all right.
It just felt natural to me, that's all.
George Thorogood is the voice you're hearing. This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton, and Party of One is the new album, acoustic solo, George Thorogood. And you hinted earlier that it was a difficult album to actually even make. And you mentioned Scott, too. You were talking about Scott Billington, I'm guessing, of Rounder mm-hmm. Records. He's also said on the liner notes it was a difficult album, and he hinted that, and if I have this right, or he has this right, it was difficult because you had to reconnect with your youth. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, what I really had to do was reconnect, John, with my hands. My hands were not doing what they were once doing 40 years ago. I've been playing Get a Haircut for 100 years now, okay? I've been playing Who Do You Love since I can remember. So a lot of this stuff, it's like a language you've forgotten that you used to speak years ago, and you have to go back to it and brush up on it. Well, yeah, the songs made sense, and musically I could sing these songs, because it's what I do, singing. But my hands were like, well, wow, it was like a a rebellion of like, oh man, I'm exhausted. I finally realized halfway through why I stopped doing it to begin with, John.
Okay.
Why I didn't pursue this is because it's a hard thing to do, you know. I mean, there's only one lead belly, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So, yeah, that was a struggle to find songs that George can actually do. And once people want to hear, and once we started branching out of straight blues and working on stuff by Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan and Hank Williams, who I love, Brian Jones, who I dig very much, you know, people like that. And they included a song that Rounder was hot about called Soft Spot, which is a sympathetic statement about the homeless in the world. Once we moved into that, things eased up a little bit. There's no way I can just sit there with that monster dobro and bang out 13 songs. That would be an impossibility for me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as hard. It's not as easy as you think.
From my childhood, where I am now, ain't gonna worry, I'll get by somehow. My mama had 'em, daddy too. I was born with the blues.
You mentioned that you had a hard time going back to playing like you used to, but at the same time, you've got a little bit more experience under your belt than you did way back in the day. What are you able to bring to the table for in a record like this that you maybe couldn't have done 40 years ago?
That's a good question.
Look at the whole army.
I probably could have, because all along, since I was a kid, as far back as I can remember, I was playing the song No Expectations on my guitar, and that goes back to 68. I've always been into Johnny Cash. I've always been into Hank Williams. And so if you had selected this material, Boogie Chillin', of course, Bourbon, Scotch, and Beer, and things like that, I would have been able to do it back then. It just would have been easier because I was more accustomed to playing by myself. This is the record I should have made back then.
They went into a club, sat down at the bar that night. Some cat started a riot with Earl. That was his first mistake. John said, Earl, be cool, baby. I got the cat.
George Thorogood is who we're talking with. This is GLT Sound Ideas. Don't Mess with the Hookers is a song on here. It's a love note to John Lee and Earl Hooker. You covered his classic Boogie Chillin' as well. Are you particularly enamored with John Lee Hooker, or was it just a couple of songs you really wanted to put on there?
It's a little bit of both. He was the guy that really got me going on guitar. It's a very primitive style, very driving, very rhythmic, not too many, if any, chord changes. I found myself being able to adapt to Hooker's style of guitar very quickly when I first picked up the instrument, and actually shocked some people around me who were at a party once and heard me playing in the next room when I wasn't a guitarist, I was playing it. They thought they were listening to a John Lee Hooker record and came into the room and said, well, what was that sound? I said, well, that was me. And there were other people who were accomplished musicians, guitar players as well. And they said, well, you better start working on guitar because you nailed it. And it sounded just like John Lee. Later on, I found out a guy that I'm really into, Bo Diddley, who said to me, John Lee Hooker was the man who was responsible for Bo Diddley playing the guitar. He said, yeah, that was the guy he listened to. Bo, as you know, is very rhythmic. He can hang on one chord, make a whole song out of it. So I was, those two artists, but especially Hooker, as in, here's something I can get behind in a hurry. Don't Mess with the Hookers, I just thought it was a bad title. And you don't have to sing it, you talk it. It's a talking blues. I thought maybe there's a way I can adapt this thing without a band, because, as you know, Hooker started originally without a band, and arguably some people say John Lee Hooker's best work is the things that he does by himself. So I said, well, this one, I gotta give this one a shot.
They'll burn you down. Don't mess with the hookers.
All right, George Thorogood, I want to ask you one more question. Party of One is the name of the brand new album. George is going to be at the BCPA Sunday night. You mentioned that you covered the Stones and Hank Williams. I want to ask you about that. You covered Pictures from Life's Other Side from Hank and No Expectations by the Stones. A great song, but often not considered when talking about some of those great old blues songs. Why did you include those songs on this album, which I'm expecting here, all those great old blues guys, right?
Well, Pictures from Life's Other Side was a song I've been playing for years anyway. So that was a snap. I did it at the Ryman Auditorium for an encore recently, and I got to play a Hank Williams song at the Ryman Auditorium, and I had the same dressing room as Hank Williams that night. Well, he wasn't there, trust me, he wasn't there, but I had the same dressing room he used to use when he was there. So that was something that I wanted to do on a personal level. No expectations. There's perfectly good a reason for that, Brian Jones. I mean, he played the slide on it. Brian Jones was the first person I ever saw play slide guitar. I saw him playing slide guitar on television. And I'd never seen that before. And he was one of the essential ingredients into forming that band into what they are today. And he did many numerous things that he played, whether he played piano or he played the xylophone or whether he played whatever he did. It was unique and it was brilliant. And I like the lyrics, too. You know, they're very bluesy, sad lyrics.
Take me to the station and put me on a train. I've got no expectations to pass through here again.
To this day, I don't think Mick Jagger gets enough credit for his lyrics. He's a brilliant lyric writer. They always talk about him wiggling around on stage and his great stage act and, you know, his latest girlfriend or something like that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, man. You're not giving this guy a fair shake here. Listen to some of these lyrics. I mean, some of them are very funny. And he's a funny guy. That's the coolness of him. And he's also written some very sensitive things that are very... very beautiful, actually. Lady Jane is beautiful. Fool to Cry is beautiful. So it was a combination of Mick and Brian. But when everybody starts out, man, you want to perform like Mick Jagger and play slide guitar like Brian Jones, and you want your hair to look like Keith Richards. Cool. Having said that, it was a natural fit.
Party of One is the brand new album from George Thorogood. Thank you so much for your time, George. Congrats on the album, and nice to talk to you.
Is that a fact? Well,
it is. I enjoyed it.
Well, I don't get that too often, you know. They don't let me out very often, John.